Hello, how are you?
Now, we'll already keep this rolling. Eric can just edit out the first shit. I edit out this. Hi, Eric, sweetie. Thank you. Love of my life. Mood of my
Good.
stars. Whatever the fuck Game of Thrones is. Which, by the way,
I
we're watching again because I need something to entertain my ass.
don't know anything about Game of Thrones, so I can't contribute. I really don't even know what it's about,
I don't think
so
you like it. I don't think it's your cup of tea.
no, television's period is not really my cup of tea, so it's
Huh.
like it's weird because I can't. I'm someone who cannot focus when they watch TV. I just like don't like I'll stare at it and I'm just like this is not like I just like
Dude,
I'm.
that was me on Thursday and Friday. Like, I have a corner. I mean, I'll show you since we're recording. So, with video and all, I'm blurring my background. That corner right there behind the TV that you can't see, I stared at that for 2 hours on, I think it was Friday. I think Friday was like my quote unquote hardest day, even though they were all really hard and challenging. I stared at that corner for 2 hours, like a legit 2 hours. It felt like 10 minutes while I sobbed. And I had no idea why I was staring and why I was crying. No idea. It was a great day.
What week of prep is this for you?
I have no idea. No idea.
No.
I haven't been keeping tabs on it, but I'm in it. I'm in the thick of it, put it that way.
I'm just thinking. You started after Christmas, right? Yeah. After the holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a hot minute, like, at least since January.
Yeah. That's just so wild. Ugh, I can't even imagine. Ugh,
Like,
prep is
it
hard.
just, it was the weirdest thing. 'Cause, like I said, I had a great day on Friday. Like, my athlete check-ins went super well. I was feeling pretty decent. Like, after a decent night of rest, coming off of Thursday, and Thursday was the beginning of like my sequence of hard days. And then Friday hit. And I think I cried 6 or 7 times on Friday.
That's
Once,
so
like a happy tear, a happy cry. And then the rest were just like, I have no idea why I'm crying. Like, it literally felt like back in 2020 when I was in the height of my depression. It literally, like, I feel like I am depressed. It's wild.
yeah, but like you and I both know that that's like it's probably so like hormonal based and not like hormonal based, but just like the circumstances, like
Yeah.
right? Like just the fact that like I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong though, but like the fact that it just like came out of like nowhere, your body was like, "Oh yeah, like the buck stops here. Like this is like hitting hard like right now." And it was like something that had that like tipping point. 'Cause usually as I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as like depression and anxiety and things like that go, like you kind of feel like the buildup. At least I always usually do. And I'm like, "Oh man, like I'm slipping under and like I'm more aware of it now so I can correct it and get ahead of it." Versus like just staying in like that lower vibration. So like you said, oh, I'm comparing it to the height of your depression a couple of years ago. I don't know if you like slid into that or if you're just like a jump off the bridge kind of person and that's how it like it usually hits you.
I wouldn't say it was a slide. The only thing that felt like a slide was like the loss of energy. But again, like, I also understand I've been dieting, but this has not been like any other diet that I've done with Austin because I've dieted with him before. And even on lower food. And yeah, I was tired and lower in energy, but this is like I was so frustrated. I want to say Sunday. I don't even remember what day it was, but I was on a walk with Eric. And I was like, I am so angry and frustrated for myself that the idea, and again, I said this, right? I said this in my delirium. So guys, I'm good, but I'm being fucking honest about what went down on Sunday. We were on a walk and I was like, angry crying. So I was like, I'm so angry and so frustrated at myself. I don't even know if there's a word in the English language that I can pronounce and say to view how angry I am and frustrated at myself for feeling this way. Like, beating myself into the ground is not enough of a punishment that I feel like I deserve for feeling this way. Like, it was completely unhinged and unraveled, but I was like literally like wanting to just like take a pestle and mortar and like me like put myself in there and grind myself up. But even then, like that to me, to my brain, was not enough of like a punishment that I needed to endure, even though I have done nothing wrong. Right? It's like I have followed my plan, except for like obviously the deviations I have due to lethargy for
Right.
6 fucking years now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't miss. And when I do, I pick smart options to help me propel toward my goals. You know what I'm saying? I'm just that person. So The amount of emotion and dysregulation that has occurred this past week has been unnerving. Because also to remind, the listeners, or to, if you're new, hi, hello, enter into a prep. It's fun, I promise. I don't remember my first prep, and I really don't remember the escalation of my depression because, again, I was so rooted in my eating disorder and exercise addiction to where I was constantly moving, even if I didn't have the energy to do so. My anxiety gave me the will, you know what I'm saying? But now that I am present, I have slowed down. I am doing things like meditation and gratitudes. I'm giving myself peace, in other words. I now am experiencing the side effects and the symptoms of where I'm at, not only in prep, but then also like the feeling of this depression in life. And obviously, it's burnout. It's burnout 100%. And while the training break that Austin prescribed on Friday helped a little bit, like I'm still having these lingering symptoms that I am not worried about because I know I'm in good hands, but it is a concern because it's not something that is fun to, lie on your bed and meditate, doing something good for yourself to give yourself peace and then stand up and then collapse to the floor. Like that is scary. That is scary. So that's
No,
what I'm at.
that's wild. It's wild. I'm sorry that, like, obviously you're dealing with this during prep and
I think I'm experiencing it because of prep.
no, yeah, like, and because of prep, same thing. Like, obviously if you weren't in prep, I don't think that this would happen, obviously. It's just like, it's just wild to me because, like, yeah, like, you've dieted on lower calories before, with Austin, so it's very interesting. That's why I'm like, so what happened? I don't know. We don't know, you know?
It's probably just the accumulation.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the thing, it's like stress is cumulative. It's not just like, even though I'm lucid now, like when I was like in my fits, I was like, I don't know why this is happening. I feel like I'm being punished. And then Eric's like, you haven't done anything wrong. Like, you're not bad. You have followed the plan, right? So it's because you have followed the plan and done like the things that your body's experiencing the stress. He's like, you push yourself hard, especially in the gym, right? Like, yeah, I've dieted a little bit harder, but at the end of the day, it kind of like while previous and prior experiences can give light to how your body responds, like I am still doing a very heavy leg focused split. Like I still have 6 days of cardio. Like I do, my walks, or at least I did until today. I did all my walks, but like the past few days, I couldn't go on my walks because I couldn't move. So it is something where at the end of the day, it's not because I am bad or did a bad job. It's like I followed the plan and these are the results. So therefore, this is why you communicate effectively with your coach, you trust your coach and communicate clearly so that way your coach, i.e. Austin, can make the decisions he needs to, whether it is a diet break, whether it's to add in, supplemental thyroid hormone, whether it's to add in something else. It's like I give him as, again, clearly as I can without like feeling like an emotional monster of this is what I'm feeling. I will let you decide. And I already have my shit drafted up for tomorrow's check-in. Like, I know I'm gonna look flat as fuck. I don't give a shit. I'm not emotionally attached to my physique or my training. Like, I will do what needs to be done. But it is important to be honest and note that like not every week's gonna be an A plus because this wasn't an A plus week. It wasn't, but it was the week that I had. And I know that I still tried my best, even if it wasn't my best.
It's like that whole, like, your 100% looks different each day, you know? Like, my 100% today is not going to be the same 100% tomorrow. It's not always like
Exactly.
that, right?
Exactly.
And so it's just like goes to like show that, like, yeah, even though like it's not an A plus, it's still like the A plus you could give at this, right? With everything you have like going on. So I'm proud of you. I know communication can be hard and difficult, especially in prep, because we want to be so s fucking hardcore and like not have any issues and just power through. But that's when you even get backed into a corner even further, right? And start happening. So stay tuned, guys, for next week after Ash's check-in, and we can learn more about like what her coach said.
We can learn what the fuck happened.
Yeah, I know, because I'm curious too. So it'll be interesting to see. That's why I like talking about your prep, even though I know you like sometimes don't. Not like don't talk about it, but just
Will you
like the
please give me some grace there? Will you give me some grace there? I'm going to ask that you give me grace there because I've done a lot of work and therapy to be able to talk about this. And if I didn't want to talk about it, I wouldn't have. So I understand in the past, I have been unreceptive, but I will ask for your grace and the benefit of the doubt and open-mindedness to still talk about this, because I do struggle with people bringing up the past without maybe acknowledging the work that I am doing, because it does hurt and it feels defeating. Because at the end of the day, I understand that while I didn't have a great response prior, and I am remorseful of that, I also want my work recognized in therapy, where it's like, I am willing to talk about it now, or else I wouldn't have spent the last 30 minutes talking about myself, you know? So I will ask as my friend, will you please acknowledge that I've had a change of heart? Because it does help me to have an attitude.
Absolutely. Yeah, of
Thank
course. Like I
you.
said, I was talking about it, but I don't know. I didn't know, until right
And
now.
that's why I'm telling you, right?
I'm
That's
just
why I'm like, I want to communicate. It's like, listen, I get I was really bad in the beginning. Fully own that. I'm sorry for it, because I shouldn't have been so. But I know that I've put in the work to where it's like, yeah, I don't like telling on myself that I didn't do like the best bodybuilding this week, but like, this is the reality of my life and the reality of my prep. So I do appreciate you asking and also giving me support when I needed it, because I needed a, you know, fuck ton of support this weekend.
Absolutely, that's what I'm here for.
What
We
are
all
we
need
talking
to.
about? We're talking about coaching, right? And the questions to ask, the interview questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. What to ask when hiring a coach? I think that's important.
I know I kind of like
Important.
the on our text thread, but is there anything that you wanted to add to that before we like dive in?
No, let's dive in. I think we're. If anything pops up, it'll pop up while we're talking about it.
Cool. I think number one, and I don't like that this is number one, but I was just kind of like organizing my thoughts. I do think it is really important to have some level of certification, or if not, at least some type of, I would say, referral client transformation. So maybe we'll kind of put that side by side, because like, as someone who's been through school and certifications, like, I think the best thing for me has been the anecdotal evidence and learning experience, especially with my mentorships and my continuing education courses, that I don't have a piece of paper for. But yes, I still have a 4-year degree. Yes, I graduated the top of my class, have a 4.0, went through all the certifications for ACE, and those pale in comparison to what I have learned under Austin Stout, Dom Cuza, and other like people that I've either mentorshiped under or taken courses and classes through, because they, how do I explain this? They have more in the trench experience working with real life people than clinical lab rats in a nice, controlled, perfect little setting. And not to say that science is useless, because of course it's not. Without science, we wouldn't know what we know. But I do think it's really important that if you are considering a coach that doesn't have pieces of paper, that on the flip side, then they have a dynamite testimonial page of befores and afters, or a dynamite referral source where people are like, working with them changed my life. Like something that shows you that they do know what they're doing, because there are plenty of people that have no idea what the fuck they're doing that have pieces of paper. And there are also plenty of people that know what they're doing that don't have zip in terms of like certs. So that's my two cents. What are your thoughts, Ash?
I agree. I think I like think back to one like nursing school where like I learned some but not all, right? Because a lot of my learning has come from the anecdotal, me experiencing through patient care and then through coaching as well. I even remember, getting my certifications through, personal training. And yeah, you learn a lot, but it's very like cut and dry, right? And humans are not. And we are a lot more complex than like what some of those courses really tell us. Because a lot of those courses are based on like the nutrition and the weight training, and that's great, but it doesn't also take into consideration like a lot of like the life factors, the stress, the what is that person doing? Like, it's like if A plus B equals C, here you go, you'll get, C results essentially. And like they are good courses, and I think you should take them if you do plan on being like a personal trainer. And then if you are looking for a coach, I think they're good. But like Ash said, It definitely comes a lot from like not even just the mentorships too, because like if you're book smart, that's great. That's fantastic. But you cannot use it in application. It doesn't mean shit, you
That's the
know?
difference between shit. This is the one of the worst things about prep. It's like I'll have
Yeah.
something and then it'll just like slip through my fingies. But like I think it's the difference between like knowing and understanding. It's like you
Yeah.
can know all the shit, but if you can't apply it, then you don't understand it.
Like bridging that gap, and that
Yes.
comes from experience. So yeah, like when you're interviewing a coach and you're looking for a coach that you want to hop on a call with, you know, you want to be like, okay, like do they have certifications? Like what is that testimony? You know, what are the samples that they're posting online of clients, and like what are they talking about with those clients? Like if you look at their transformations and it's just like down 30 pounds. Down, lost 100 pounds. Okay, well, that's great. That's good. They lost all this weight, but like, are they feeling better? Like, sometimes it's not just that looks. So, like, when I'm looking at coaches, I'm looking at their transformations along with like, you know, what aligns with me in terms of like what they're capable of doing, right? Like, can you support a client outside of just the training program and the diet? And that usually is told in their testimonies from like their clients and things like that.
Absolutely. Other things to consider is like how long have they done this? And at some point, if they've been doing this for a really long time, I'd make the argument that their prices should reflect that. Versus if you're newer, you're probably going to be a little bit cheaper. But what doesn't make sense to me, unless you have the repu, but even that, if you have the reputation, then you have the experience. But if you don't have the experience, if you don't have enough skin in the game, and you're already charging like $500 a month, like that to me is like a real head scratcher, because it's like, but you don't have the, like you don't have the experience, right? But then also like another thing to consider when it comes to just like coaching credentials and experience, specialties. There are some coaches that are just bodybuilding coaches. There are some coaches that are more lifestyle, fat loss focused. There are some coaches that, you know, they can do the functional health stuff. There are some bodybuilding co coaches that do the functional health, that do the fat loss, that do the functional health. There are some people that won't light a candle to functional health because they're just like, fuck that shit, right? So it's also important to understand that some people do niche down, and that's totally fine if that's what you resonate with, but it also is important to understand that there is a focus of having a well-rounded scope of practice to be able to troubleshoot complexity. Because if you're able to troubleshoot complexity, then that tells me that you understand the entire system as a whole. But if you choose not to work with functional health, but you still know about functional health or how the body should function optimally, but you don't like working with that type of client, that's like a marketing thing. But don't go to a bodybuilding coach if your goal is to not be a bodybuilder, or
Right.
unless they market that, hey, yes, I work with bodybuilding athletes, but also like Gen Pop or lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Like, if you're like, hey, like I'm just trying to get healthy, like you probably shouldn't go to like Cameron Cheek and be like, hey, like, you know, like.
I mean, you probably could. I don't know if that's what Cameron would want to work with, but like people at the very top, I'm sure they do work with Gen Pop, but if you look on their marketing, they might not always advertise it because, again, they're advertising more than likely who they want to work with, which is why you see Cameron Cheek posting like the big monsters, right? You see him posting like Megan Santa Barbara, she's like WPD. So it's like there's a difference between like what a coach wants to work with, and maybe they will take everyone, but then also, again, as a coach, you're marketing that if you don't want to work with like bodybuilders, then like don't be posting maybe your bodybuilding progress because you're going to get bodybuilders more than likely.
Yeah, no, that makes like a lot of sense. So
Like
that's
Ash, for example, I want to brag on you. I've noticed that you're doing your more marketing thing. When I see Ash's page, I see her marketing to functional health and moms. Is that who you want to work with? Yeah, right. Exactly. You're like, yeah, duh. But that goes to the point. That's how I see her evolving her marketing. So when she gets inquiries, I bet you it's more functional health and moms. Because when you look on Ash's page, she is highlighting her good work of healing her Hashimoto's. She highlights her good work of taking care of herself, having a good body post baby, and also being a good source of education and nourishment for her new son. That's what I see. So therefore, people that maybe are struggling in that department, they see Ash, they're gonna likely get on a sales call with Ash versus me because I don't have a kid. And like I can market my extreme weight loss and I get inquiries about that all the time, but it's like I'm likely not gonna get moms. completely fine. No issue. In fact, I probably would send them to Ash. So again, if you are looking for a coach or you are a coach, two sides of that coin, make sure you're being receptive.
Yeah, no, and I think that speaks a lot of volumes, because some people will just be like, well, I just want to hire X, Y, and Z because X, Y, and Z. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, no, you should see like what they're marketing, what they're about, because you guys have to align together as well, right? Like, I don't ever fucking promote that I used to coach like males. Like, I had quite a few. I've coached like two to the bodybuilding stage too, and I will not do that again. So like, you will not see me. Nah, I don't, nothing against males. I just like don't enjoy it. I think there's better people out there to do it. Like, I'm not opposed to like taking a guy, but like, I don't market for that. Like, you know, like I don't put anything. I don't even put my former male clients that I've coached. Like, I had a male client that lost over 100 pounds. Like, I could promote that, but I don't want the male client. I don't know. It's just like not for me right now. Which is fine. And that's what it is. So like, don't come to my page, and if you don't see that, you don't see it, right? And I think that's really good to note there. Okay. So I am gonna skip to the second one or the third one on this list, because I want to talk about this one. So, because I think this is really important. So one thing that, like, when you're getting on a call with a coach or looking at them or even talking to their other athletes or previous athletes that's coached them, is like, you want to ask like what their communication is and like their support. Like, how often are you getting check-ins? How often can you contact them? What is their typical response time like? And how do they handle, like, you know, if there is some type of issue that arises like within, you know, the week or your programming and stuff like that. I also think like the style of communication is important, because Ash and I actually both have different styles on how we respond to check-ins and stuff like that. And some people may hate the way that I do it, and other people really, really enjoy it. Like, I know if I did the check-ins for myself, like the way that I do them for my clients, I don't think I would like that for me, because it's just not me.
Like
But
the
like, oh,
loom.
yeah. So I do, I record, I like video record. You guys get to see me. You guys get to see what I'm clicking on throughout your check-ins and the, you know, the visual of it. And people love that. People are like, oh my God, I love being able to see what you're looking at, what you're exactly talking about. And like, for me, like as an athlete, I'm like, dude, just send me yes, no changes. I don't care. Like, I don't want any, I don't care about any details. But some people really like that video, and they'd like to see and like hear my voice, hear like my face, or see my facial expressions, because some people, you know, read things, read too far into things and interpret it themselves. So I get a lot of positive feedback on that. Whereas me, if you were just like say Ash was my coach, I know she does like emails, and like that would be like perfect for me. And like, I wouldn't even need like a, like, I know she goes very detailed in responses. Like, if Ash was just to be like, yeah, still looking kind of inflamed, still kind of puffy, like I would not take that as like a bad thing. But like, some people not hearing it in their voice would take it like, oh my God, I'm inflamed, I'm so fat, like X, Y, and Z, versus like, that's not how it's coming across. But like, for me, like, I just need short to the point. So I think that communication style is really, really, really important, because you should look forward to your check-ins and your coach's response check-ins. And if you don't like the way that they're communicating, then it's going to create like a lot of conflict in how you enjoy that experience.
I'd agree. So not only is it like the frequency important, but also like the, I guess, mode, if you will. So it's like, yeah, I do check in via email, but then also my clients have WhatsApp for videos because I couldn't imagine sending fucking training videos via email. Like I feel like that would just break the world. So making
Break the
sure
internet.
it probably would break the internet. So like making sure that like the coach has communication, maybe options, because like even my check-in process, well, yes, I have a concrete process and like collecting biofeedback and collecting data. Like you need a method for tracking and measuring progress, absolutely. But how I do it is different depending upon the client and their goal. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, let's take Ash wants to work with me, for example. I have a long list of questions that I'd like to ask because I am very thorough. However, Ash has a full-time job as a coach. She's a nurse. She's a, I don't want to say brand new mom because you're starting to get the hang of this thing a lot better than, you know, initially, but you're still a mom. You don't likely want to devote the time to filling out 20 fucking questions. So how I would coach Ash is we would do more of a bullet point thing of symptoms, energy, mood, digestion, just so that way she can, you know, effectively answer and communicate with me but it doesn't overwhelm and stress her out and add complication to her day. We still do the body weight, we still do the fasting blood glucose, maybe resting heart rate, right? But then we are monitoring her symptoms and signs a little bit differently versus someone that maybe needs a little bit more hand holding or maybe just a different approach entirely. My questions reflect that. So I think it is really important to have a standard process in terms of how you communicate and support your client. There still needs to be some level of, I don't want to say rigidity, but some concrete area to measure progress. Because again, you are either doing a physique bodybuilding show, which I mean, you should be taking photos for that, or if you're fat loss or something else, like some like empirical evidence that your brain cannot alter because, you know, your body weight is your body weight and you can feel a certain way about it, but no matter what, you still woke up at 1:33 this morning, you know?
Yeah, no. And I think that's, like you said, it's like very important because it has to be like person dependent. And like that's really good. You can even ask coaches like on their sales call or whatever, or however you want to look at discovery call. Like, hey, like what's included in your check-ins? What questions do you ask? Like, what would you do for me? Because same thing. Like there's questions that don't apply to some of my clients. You know, it's like, are you using any PEDs? Do we have any, injectables going on? Like moms, like a lot of them like don't use that, right? So it's like, yeah, like that's not a question that I'm gonna put in your check-in or have you answer, right? I think the frequency is important as well. I offer like different options depending on like where you're at in your journey. Like some people have like weekly check-ins, some have bi-weekly check-ins. And some people have like monthly. So like we do tailor that to the person's need, but most of the time, majority of the time, at least starting off for a while, people do need like that weekly. And I think even like the clients are looking for that as well, because it helps them be more accountable. But like if you get a coach that's like, no, like I only do like once a month, and you're someone who like is like, well, I'm trying to lose all this weight. I'm really green and new to like training and all of that. Like once a month check-ins, like probably not gonna be ideal for you at all.
Absolutely. And then also kind of like one last thing to consider in the communication and support realm is asking them like how do they handle plateaus or setbacks? Like how do they handle when you didn't get an A plus week? Right? Because it's like, let's be honest, life is always happening because if it doesn't, you're fucking dead. So like there are gonna be some weeks where it's you know, quote unquote boring, where it's like you checked all your boxes. And there are going to be some weeks where, you know, your fucking dog died, your house burned down, like you lost a thumb. Like, how does your coach handle that? Do they tell you, hey, you're a fucking piece of shit for not like getting your cardio done? Do they tell you, hey, this was a rough week? Like, let's make sure you're set up well for the week after. Like, here, maybe some resources. Like, it's not about neglecting your scope because there are some things that we have no business messing with unless you do have like the credentials to mess with, i.e., like, you're a therapy or a fucking licensed practitioner or massage therapist or a fucking chiropractor, for example. Like your coach should respect their scope of practice, but also like it also says beyond the like going above and beyond service is it's like, hey, your house burned down. Here's the American Red Cross information. Like that might like mean the world to that client because while I want no one's house to burn down, I know my grandparents did. The American Red Cross stood up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like not overstepping, but also not just being like, oh, not can't fucking do it. Don't know. Sorry, shit works. Like, can get back on plan. Like,
And I think, yeah, this goes to show, like, also too, like, the coach, like, knowing you as an athlete,
yeah.
because, like, and that is like something. It's like, like, oh, like you can see it on people's like Instagram and social media, like how much they know about their athlete. Like, so and so is a mom of four, has a dog, works as X, Y, and Z. Because if they come to the plate and they're like, oh man, like I didn't get my cardio in because of X, Y, and Z, but they normally do and they're fine. And you know them as a person, then you're gonna be like, hey, like cool. Like, it was a rough week. Like, what can we do to get back on the horse? But like also as a coach, how do you handle those struggles for people who are like, I can't do this. This is literally unattainable for me right now. And instead of saying, hey, like get back on the horse, keep trying, we alter, not like alter, but we adapt
You
the
toggle. No,
program.
you do. You alter 100%.
To fit you as that client. And that's one thing to handle like as a struggler. It's like, like you said, you have an injury now. How do you adapt? As how does the coach adapt? Like, it's like, okay, well, now you have an injury, like, book it, or it's like, no, okay, well, like, where are we? Is it our hand? Okay, can we still do some leg days? And it's that, how do they get through that? And that may be like a definitely a really good question to again ask, like, how they handle the plateaus and the setbacks. Good
Agree.
job.
Another one is like kind of heading into the programming and philosophy section, where it's like, overall, what do they believe is their quote unquote method or approach? And while yes, your coach should not, in my opinion, have a one size fits all plan or a cookie cutter bullshit marketing tactic, they still have their own biases and their own philosophy for how they program nutrition and training. And I do think that there should be a level of honesty and transparency where if you're a coach that only does meal plans, you straight up say, we only do meal plans. Or if you only give macros, you only give macros. But making sure that you ask like what they give you, because again, you are purchasing a service. And so if you are someone that, needs a lot of flexibility because you have a lot of things to do, then maybe working with a coach that only gives you macros and you have to figure it the fuck out yourself isn't right for you. So asking them like, how do you go about programming nutrition? Like, can you work with me when it comes to being a busy mom or busy work schedule and I can't go to the gym 7 days a week? So it's like asking their overall like thought process on you and the context that you require. Because I think a lot of the times we can look at like maybe the athletes that the coach does post about or the other people on Instagram, and they're like, oh, well, I see that they train 6 days a week and do cardio every day, and they're a bodybuilder prepping for a show. And I'm like, a single dad where I have two kids, and they go back and forth every other weekend to their mom. Like, if you're a different person and have different goals and have a different context, your coaching experience should reflect that.
Oh my God, I have to bring up a scenario with me when I was interviewing coaches. This like just reminds me of it. Like you said, you have to like fit that person. It's so, like, what is their being? Like, we sh as coaches, we should have multiple, but some people are very rigid, right? And I remember interviewing for a coach, and I asked this coach, I was like, hey, like, I have Hashimoto's, I'm a mom, and I'm curious about, and this was a couple months ago before I was, as Ash said, and fucking expert at being a mom now.
Expert status. She's
Yeah.
an IFBB pro as a mom. That's
Yeah,
her
no.
mom pro card.
I'm still an amateur who's never gotten on stage. Anyways, so with that being said, I'm like asking, just like, because my thing is time. I don't have time, right? Not that I don't have time, I just have a certain amount of time, right?
It's
Between,
priorities. You
yeah.
have priorities as a mom.
And so I'm like, hey, like, I know my body, I know my Hashimoto's right now. Like, I'm just like, dude, like, I really can't do more than like 4 days with the intensity that I train at, which I believe is pretty hard. The volume that I'm currently at, like, my recovery takes a hit most of the time. So I'm just like, hey, like, what's your philosophy on training? And they're like, oh, well, typically, like, 5 days a week, if not six, like depending on like what we need to build up and bring up. And I'm like, okay, well, like, do you have an idea of like how much volume you're gonna put in my program? And they're like, whatever it takes to grow, X, Y, and Z. And I was like, okay, like, that's fine. Like, I know I have areas to grow, but I'm literally telling you, like, 2 hours is like my max. So if you're having me do like five sets of like really high volume, like on six or seven different exercises on a leg day, I'm gonna fall short every fucking week. And like, that's not gonna be, and I'm not gonna be able to recover X, Y, and Z. And I was just like, okay, well, like, I just like don't think this is gonna work. Like, I understand like you're seeing the goal and the vision, and I appreciate that. And like, what's gonna bridge that gap to get me there is like training needs to come up. But I'm telling you right now, like, that's something that I just like can't handle any more of, right? Is, again, it's time, it's recovery, it's inflammation, and I know all of those things, and my sleep sucks still sometimes because of the child. So it's like, all right, like, you right then and there that this was like not going to be a good fit, because I know me, I would have probably bent over backwards and killed myself to try and get all of that done, and it would have raised stress, and it would have been worse for me. So having that like conversation of like, hey, like, what is your training philosophy? Because some people will straight up be like, 5 days a week, you have two upper, two low, like, what I'm saying? Like, and I think like, if that's not going to fit your schedule, like, it's it and fit your life and fit your recovery needs, then it's not going to be suitable, because some people still die on that same hill of like, this equals this, and you have to do this in order to get that, versus like, sure, maybe I'm only training 3 days a week and it's going to take me 8 months longer to get there, but that's what I can do right now.
Yeah. You guys remember, like, I love the this equals this, because if you go back to learning your multiplication times tables, right, there are multiple things that can give you, like, let's say the number 50. And I can't do math right now, but for
50
example,
times 1, 25 times 2. There we go.
like, yeah, so you could do 25 times 2. You can do, was it, you can do 5 times 10. You can do 1 times 50. Well, all of those are still fucking 50, right?
Right.
It's still fucking 50, but it's like what you need to do to get there, it's up to you. So again, context is like the word of the day, context clues. And then also something other to consider when it comes to expectations and logistics, it's like this is where it kind of gets down to maybe the services or the contracts or whatever the fuck it is, like how you essentially pay for that service, right? It is, do they require commitments? Are there contracts? How do they do payments? Do they do monthly? Do they offer package deals, 6 months, 12 months, 3 months, whatever? Like maybe what are the, again, the logistics of like, hey, like let's take Ash as an example. Hey, coach, like my kid is sick today. I'm gonna be late. Will you still respond to my check-in? And depending upon the coach's policy, it's, me, for example, everyone gets at least one life happens. Like, you know what? Like, go ahead and send it over. Life happens. I get it. If it's a continual missing or a lack of boundary respecting when it comes to my cutoff time for receiving check-ins, like, then it's a conversation of like, okay, we need to make this a priority. This is a meeting. You come to meetings prepared. You have your suit and tie. You make sure that your stuff's, tucked in, your fly's not down. Like you come prepared for a meeting and you have all the presented materials. So therefore you can have a successful meeting. Because if I'm missing data and pictures and context, but you have your body weight, big fucking whoop-de-doo. You are more than your body weight. So it's like, again, understanding their policy for mixed check-ins, but then also their flexibility around changes, travel, life happens stuff, right? And again, that's where what I call team huddles, like we come together, put our noggins together in the team huddle before we go hike. We do that because it's like, again, I'm here to service you. So I want to do that, but I can only service you if you communicate with me.
No, yeah, and I think that's like very good to ask that question too, because I know like for me, like as a mom, I'm like, hey, like what do you do if like a check-in is missed? And like that's important because life does happen, right? And I think that, if someone's like, oh yeah, you can always send them late, people start using that, like you said, and then they're not taking this serious. I also think, as far as like the pricing and packaging and contracts is really good because, some people are like, I don't know if I want to be locked in a contract, like is month to month better? And then like you can also obviously check your finances in terms of like obviously if you pay in full, typically most of the coaches that I know and then I know Ash and I both are like this pay in full, you kind of get like a little bit of a discount because you're making that full commitment. So that's always something to ask too if you're someone who's like, oh man, like can I not so much like save a buck, but like you are saving a buck when it comes to it. So like it, it's like for me, I always pay in full. Always
I do
one because
too.
I hate
Yeah.
monthly, fucking hate
But
monthly.
this is what I even tell people in my sales call. Like, there is power in quote unquote the harbor freight rule. And what that this is what the harbor freight rule is for me and my family. You have a place that sells tools, right? You have Harbor Freight, and then you have things like Home Depot and Lowe's, right? Usually Home Depot and Lowe's are of higher quality because they have more name brand stuff. Harbor Freight is more like the off-brand stuff. So, not saying the Harbor Freight is completely useless, but the quality can be hit or miss. So, let's say you buy this hammer because you're not really sure if you need a hammer long term. So, if it breaks, ain't no big deal, right? You get a new hammer for $5 at Harbor Freight versus, oh, I've used this hammer repeatedly. It keeps breaking, but I need to use it because I'm, working on my house. Okay, well, I need to get a fucking hammer then and buy a nicer brand. So the nice thing about Harbor Freight is, let's say you do month to month for now, because you're kind of like quote unquote dating your coach, because you're seeing if you're a good personality fit a lot of the time, and then also seeing if you're responding, again, working together as a team. And if shit doesn't work out, okay, it's 2 months and however much money associated with that, not that big of a deal in most cases. But let's say you got overzealous and really hyped up, and the coach maybe did a really good job selling you, and then, the Cinderella fairy dust turns off and you turn into a pumpkin and you realize this is a pumpkin coach, you're like, fuck, I have another 4 months left in this fucking contract and you're not checking in, you're not utilizing it. So there goes, let's say like $2,500 down the fucking toilet. So I offer the Harbor Freight rule where it's like, if you want to try me out for 2, 3 months and then you want to do a package, let's do that. Because I understand that this is a big commitment. It is very intimate. And a lot of people, it's very scary. It takes a lot of courage to even get on the sales call. And honestly, a lot of self-awareness to even realize you need fucking help in the first place. So it's like, let's do a lower risk approach. I'll show you how I'm different and we'll figure it out together. And that usually is a lot easier to digest versus like, a year contract straight out the gate.
No, yeah, I agree because like sometimes like it's like then you feel stuck. You're like, oh
You
man,
are
I'm
stuck. Yeah.
for a whole entire year and it's like, oh shit. Like, and that gives people like anxiety too, you
Dude,
know?
100%. Let's talk about red flags because obviously there are a ton of red flags. But I think the four ones that like I noted is like a one size fits all. Like they have this is their way or the highway, and this is what fucking gets results. Again, kind of going back to our multiplication table, it's like there are different ways to get to 50. But if it's like they're only like, oh, the only way to get to 50 is what is fucking 5 times 10. There's no other way. Okay. No. Like, let's go back to was it fucking second grade? First grade, whenever the fuck you're learning your times tables. Like, okay, there's not a one size fits all, right? Another one, like magic or quick fixes. Like, ooh, I got the secret. I got the secret sauce. Like,
Yeah, the sauce, guys.
yeah, you got the secret sauce. Little Emmett ASMR secret sauce. Ain't nobody got the secret sauce. I promise you. There are gonna be some coaches that understand your needs better. But also understand that, like, it also is on you to either make the changes or to step up and, fully embrace the process. So, like, again, teamwork, right? Teamwork makes the dream work. Another one, being completely dismissed of your history or context or even preferences. But I want to do the disclaimer here. Understand that you also need to be coachable. So, if you're like, oh, keto only works with me, but yet, like, you're still 400 pounds overweight. I'm like, okay, like maybe not. So it's like that.
What that and like I always try and like explain to people like okay well like what you're doing or what you've been doing didn't work so that's why you're here right because we have to try something different but like it can be hard to let go of that when you're like oh this is the only way and it's like sometimes that like only way in their mind is because they only know 1 times 50 is 50 and 2 times 25 is 50 but they don't know 5 times 10 or 4 times or 5 times, whatever. I don't know math
I
right now.
can't math today, so like that was a horrible example, but hopefully people get it.
So, yeah, like it's like, well, it's like, we don't know the other, plans and tricks. And sometimes, like, we have to work together to fill them out. So, I do think that that's like really, really important. But, like, yeah, you have to be coachable. But, like, also, too, like, there are some like guidelines that like go into that, right? Like, or I should say, like, guidelines, but like, boundaries that come with it, right? So, I think I'm trying to think of like another big, like you said, lack of structure or progress tracking system.
Like, there
I
should be
think
some level of tracking progress, but how that looks for you is going to be context dependent. And let's give some examples. If your goal is to step on a bodybuilding show and you're not doing pictures, what the fuck? Like, what the actual literal fuck? Versus maybe you're someone that does functional health and you're working on tummy issues. Okay, well, yeah, photos will be helpful in the context of looking at distension and bloating. Maybe just for the sake of your mental health, it's not every week. Maybe it's every other week. And checking on other things like stool quantity, not good quantity and quality, but then also other symptom assessments that again are more cut and dry and not biased based on how you're feeling in that moment. So again, it's like there should be structure, but there should be flexibility within the structure to get you the desired outcome, which is why you're hiring a coach in the first place.
Like the shoe has to fit, but you can have like different types of shoes,
Yeah,
essentially, as well.
absolutely. Absolutely. Even though I only have one shoe. I only have one shoe, Ash. I have one shoe that I wear every single day. It's the same brand, the same color, and every 3 months I get a new pair.
I mean, you like what you like, though,
Yeah.
But Like, if you're coming to a coach to help with digestion and they're not even asking about like your stool, like what type it is, like are you bloated? Like, and they're just like, okay, like what's your weight? Did you train this week? You know, like
Oh.
all shit, and you're like, I'm here for digestion, like why? And my digestion's still shitty, but you're not even asking me about it. Like, okay, like that's just a red flag in itself,
That's
right?
hilarious. No, I love that example.
I mean, you can even ask like the coach is like, hey, like what do you ask like of your check-ins? Or like what would you ask of me, you know, specifically? Like, what do I need to come to like the check-ins with? Like, what are we tracking? Like X, Y, and Z? Because
Ooh, like a red flag is lack of transparency. Because I'll tell you what I do on a sales call. Like after we do the call and they're like either thinking about it or talking over their spouse, what I'll do is I'll send them like what we talked about, what I likely would do for them, a chance to ask my clients how they like to work with me. And then also I send my intake form because I want to show them one, just the honest to God truth. When you work with Ash Markham, you get Ash Markham, but two, what I take into consideration when I build you your custom plan. So either I'll do this either before the sales call or after the sales call, depending upon where it makes sense. Because again, I believe in working with real people to get real results. And a part of that is full transparency and trust. Like, I'm not gonna gaslight you to be like, oh, I got the secret sauce. Like, got a lot of sauces and all of them taste good, but for different reasons. So we just gotta find what sauce works best for you. And that's the thing. It's like, are they willing to have an open mind and work with you? Because at the end of the day, when you hire a coach, it is a collaborative effort. This is a very weird job, a very weird profession where, like, in a way, it's kind of like contracted work. But also, like, we need to be able to work together because you are the one implementing it, right? Like, you are the one putting in the work, showing up each and every hour of your life for this desired outcome. So not only is it a time to be pushed and challenged and to be held accountable, but then also like a time to like do a team huddle when things aren't working the way that they should be in theory because of either lack of adherence or stress that pops up or whatever, right? There needs to be a more comprehensive approach, in my opinion, which is why I coach like that.
And it just like depends on like I guess like what you need as like an athlete, right? And what you're looking for. I've even had people that are like, I just want a meal plan and I just want a training program and to follow it and that's it. I'm like, oh,
Like,
okay.
I'm probably not the coach for you then, or we can try, but like at the end of the day, it's like and maybe this is a thing on me. Like, I only know how to coach one way, and that's the entire person. Like, I am not someone, I've tried this in the past and I hated it. So I was like, what the fuck's the point? Where I tried to do, bi-monthly check-ins where they check in every other week, or they just do nutrition, or they just do training. And I fucking hated it because I felt like I couldn't do a good job because I was missing so many pieces. And, again, maybe that's just a error on my part for not being super flexible and adaptable. But also as being a coach, if I'm not enjoying what I'm doing and I'm my own boss, what the fuck am I doing? So yeah, like I don't have, nutrition only unless you're a power lifter, right? I do have a powerlifting option. But if you're someone like, oh, I just want to do nutrition and Gen Pop, it's like, okay, well, you're still getting fully me, right? So it's like we got to figure out how I can service you fully. And like again, like I said, maybe that's me being super flexible, but like I want to love what I do and I do love what I do. I love the people that I get to work with. It's because I coach them as Ash Markham in her entirety, not just Ash or not just Markham. It's Ash Markham.
It's all of it. It's all of it. Yeah. I don't think I have anything to add. I think that was well put together.
I agree. I like that too. Any fun questions you have? I just sounded like Yoda.
Fun questions. Oh, I asked Alex something last night and I don't even remember. Oh, I was like, if you could be like a natural disaster, what do you think you would be?
I'm a tornado. I'm always a tornado.
Oh, that's good.
What about you? At least not right now. Right now, I'm a tornado that has like, are there different?
Doesn't touch the ground.
I was thinking like, you know how hurricanes have categories, or if they're like a tropical depression or whatever?
Oh, tornadoes do too, by the way.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm one that needs a Viagra. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like Ash Markham, where it's like normally I'm a tornado and it's like, holy shit, this is devastating. It's like, oh, that's
I'm a big
cute.
I'm a big wind gust right now.
I'm like a giant fart. That's what I feel like. I am the world's biggest giant fart, where it's like you heard it, you don't smell it, but you also felt the gas propulsion. But like, it's not like earth shattering, where I normally am like a tornado, where it's just.
Yeah, wow.
That's a great question. I love that.
Yeah. Natural disaster. I think that I would be like an earthquake only because of the, like you just like don't know like when it's coming and you never know. Like I think for like me, like I'm just like sometimes so unpredictable, not with like training and stuff like that, but just like with things that I say, things that I do, like I'm like can kind of be like impulsive. Like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I need to check my antibodies. I literally woke up at 5 a.m. I ordered my thing on life extension and I just went he's done. Like here we are, we're doing them today, right now. So I would say like an earthquake can be pretty destructive, like you said, sometimes can be pretty small, kind of like, you know, just different categories. Yeah, I would say that. And I like to shake my ass, so it just makes sense.
Dude, so funny that you said earthquake, because it's like when I try to explain what a female orgasm is like to Eric, I literally am like, it's kind of like an earthquake. It kind of like it slowly builds, and then it's like.
Oh shit. Yeah, no, that is really good. That is
Like a
really
fucking earthquake, dog, let me tell you. What a great question. I really, really like that question. I'm trying to think how I can like build upon that.
you can.
I don't think I can build upon it, because that's just like such a solid question. Then maybe a fun question. What's your favorite plant?
Venus flytrap. What?
You said a sweatshop.
No, a Venus flytrap.
I thought you said a sweatshop, and I was like, not the plant I was referring to. Like, I thought you answered sweatshop. I was like, okay, well, GMC plant, but okay, no, I love that. This is where my stamina and my brain is literally shitting the
Right.
bed.
What about you?
Venus flytrap, that's a good answer. If I was a plant, I probably would be an orchid, because I really am high maintenance, but once you like figure out how to take care of me, I'm pretty.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
Eric's like, true, truth.
Dick facts. All right, guys, that's all I got.
That's all I
That's all.
got. Peace.
Adios.